Streaming services like Netflix and Hulu continue to grow in popularity, and they are far from alone. In fact, some of the biggest names in entertainment have recently or will soon start their own streaming services. That includes the recently launched Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus, with media companies like NBC Universal following closely behind. Peacock is slated to launch next year. Joining me to talk about the streaming landscape is Dade Hayes, New York business editor at Deadline, which covers the entertainment industry. And Dade, can you give us sort of a lay of the land in terms of the environment for these streaming services?
Well, we're in the midst of an unprecedented boom. A lot of traditional media companies, the three biggest, Comcast, Disney, and NBC Universal, have all decided to finally throw their hats in the ring and challenge Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu for supremacy in a surging market. Everybody is shifting gradually towards streaming. The number of pay TV households, that is people paying for cable or satellite television, keeps dropping as people cut the cord. And for many years, traditional media was content to supply their programming, sell it off to Netflix and Amazon. And now they've decided, wait a second, you know, we've got a chance to do our own thing. And then the other player in the mix is Apple, which just launched a major new streaming service of its own. So it's a very vibrant marketplace right now.
How lucrative can a streaming service be for an Amazon, an Apple? If NBC or CBS or Disney does its own thing, how lucrative can that be?
Well, it's an interesting question. Trying to assess the profitability of streaming is very difficult because you have the leading player in Netflix funneling a huge amount of money, $15 billion with a B in 2019 alone, into content. So any notion that they're building a big war chest is kind of not the case that they're banking a whole lot of money. They're making a lot of money on the top line, but they're not showing it on the bottom line. And that's also true for the new players, Disney, Warner Media. They've all stepped forward and told Wall Street, hey, we're going to lose money in the short run, but when things get rolling, in the next 4 or 5 years, we will show a profit.
So are these companies envisioning that instead of, for example, having cable TV or satellite where you get all these stations and you pay a monthly fee, that instead consumers are going to pick, okay, I want Disney, ABC, ESPN programming, I want Amazon programming, I maybe want NBC Universal programming, just sort of pick a la carte what they want and pay for each individual service?
I think that is where it's all headed. I was at the Warner Media Investor Day where they showed off HBO Max, which is their new product going to be coming to market in May of 2020. And they essentially say, down the line, they see HBO Max as their primary distribution vehicle. You know, they don't want to sell off, the Big Bang Theory and other shows to a bunch of stations. They say now they want to sell that same show directly to the consumer, giving them the choice to get things a la carte. It's funny, if you roll back the tape, 10, 15 years, there was this notion. Actually, the late Arizona Senator John McCain was a big proponent of a la carte options in cable. And the cable industry said, no way, it's never going to happen. And in the old system, it never could happen. But streaming and the technological innovations that have happened has allowed true a la carte.
Do these streaming services have to be cognizant of cost in that situation, though? Because, right now, if you pay X amount of dollars for your cable or satellite service, you know all the different stations you're going to get. Some you probably watch a lot. Some you probably don't ever watch at all. It seems like if these streaming services combined come out to more than what you would pay for cable, consumers might not be so excited about that.
That's true. There's going to be price sensitivity. Consumers will start to realize, wait a second, this is all adding up to as much, if not more, than I used to be spending. So we're in that moment right as we speak. We're in that precarious moment of price sensitivity. That's why you see interesting reactions to things like, Disney Plus, when they rolled out their plan to charge just $7 a month, people were just blown away by how cheap that was. And same for Apple. So those are the lower end of the market. Then you're seeing HBO Max creeping up to about $15. And the assumption is when these services get up and running, the prices will increase, as in fact you have seen Netflix do 4 times in the last several years.
Does that provide an opportunity, do you think, for cable and satellite providers to maybe come back in and be more competitive in the market?
It's interesting. It gives the traditional distributors, the cable guys and the satellite guys, it does give them a chance to make a value play and say, hey, this same bundle that you remember from when it was the only way to get TV, you know, this is still the best value. But they've had a heck of a time trying to persuade people that they're still relevant.
All right, so I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball for just a moment here. If you and I are having this conversation next year at this time, what do you think that the streaming environment looks like?
Well, I think it's more people opting in. The traditional companies that are entering the streaming wars have been basically saying they'll get around 10 million subscribers or upwards in the next year. And I would expect that to be the case. You're going to see pay TV subscriptions continue to drop. But I think you will see, we do seem to be at the saturation point. At the start of this year, there were 235 unique subscription services in the United States,
wow,
which is a mind-boggling statistic. Now, not all of those are Disney and HBO Max and Netflix. You know, they're among them, but a lot of them are very, very niche-oriented services. But it is crowded out there. So you may see some consolidation. I think you're going to see companies operating multiple services with overlap. You're going to see some of those collapsing into one. I mean, WarnerMedia is a classic example. So it's going to continue to become a little more coherent, hopefully more coherent for the viewer, but also for Wall Street and for the investment community, because they're just looking to, you know, to place their bets.
All right. That's Dade Hayes, New York business editor at Deadline. Dade, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity.